ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. वि आर् स्टडीङ्ग् दि साधक पञ्चकं दि थर्ड् वर्स् वाक्यार्थश्च विचार्यतां श्रुति शिरःपक्षः समाश्रीयताम् दुस्तर्कात् सुविरम्यताम् श्रुतिमतस्तर्कः अनुसन्धीयताम् ब्रह्मास्मीति विभाव्यताम् अहरहः गर्वः परित्यज्यताम् देहे अहं मतिः उज्यताम् बुधजनैः वादः परित्यज्यताम् 8 कमेण्ड्मेण्ट्स् इन् दिस् थर्ड् वर्स् आल्सो रिफ्लेक्ट् आल्वेस् अपान् दि मीनिङ्ग् आफ् दि उपनिषदिक् कमेण्ड्मेण्ट्स् and take refuge in the truth of Brahman. Avoid perverse arguments, but follow the discriminative rational of the Shruti, scripture. Always be absorbed in the attitude, I am Brahman. Renounce pride. Give up the delusory misconception, I am the body. Give up totally the tendency to argue with wise men. Vakyarthascha vicharyatam. The teachings and lives of Holy Trio for us, Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda, must be contemplated upon again and again. This is called the practice of the presence of God. 18th step, Shruti Shirah Pakshah Samashriyatam. Always take refuge in the central teaching of the scriptures. Take refuge means it is like taking refuge in God. Taking refuge in God, taking refuge in the scriptures is exactly one and the same. Why? Shruti means knowledge. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. Brahma is also known as Veda, or Veda is also known as Brahma. So there is no difference. Jnanam and Jnanavan, Brahma with a knower of Brahman, Brahma eva bhavati. He becomes or he realizes, I am Brahman. And I have discussed about the correlation, if at all, between knowledge and the knower in detail. The essence of it is that there is absolutely no difference between what we know and what we are. And only one simple point to note down here is that we cannot pretend what we know to be true as untrue. We can try, but we will not succeed. What it means is, if a person knows the truth and tries to pretend or tell a lie, otherwise what he knows, it will not work, because first of all he will know. In course of time, everyone also will know. Our whole character in fact is, in Sanskrit we use this beautiful word, Jnani and Ajnani. Who is a Jnani? A person who has right knowledge. Who is a Ajnani? He is a person who has got completely wrong knowledge. So knowledge and the person, there is absolutely no difference. We will get several examples. We will go through them very shortly. These two we had discussed in our last class. And just to remind you that the lives of the commandments of Sri Ramakrishna, commandments of Holy Mother, commandments of Swami Vivekananda, commandments of Ramana Maharshi, these things in quite detail we had discussed. Today we will start with step 19 or order commandment 19. Dustarkat suviramyatam. Avoid perverse arguments. We have seen in practically every Upanishad, especially in that most poetic of all the Upanishads, Katha Upanishad, Naisha Tarkena Matirapaneya, the knowledge of Atman can never be got by reasoning. So we also discussed in brief, this is just to remind ourselves, the relationship according to Indian philosophy between reason and revelation. Revelation is primary, reason is always secondary. I gave the reasons. Revelation is beyond the ken of the five sense organs. No one can argue what he doesn't know at all. To argue, to employ reason, one must know at least two things. so that he can discriminate, this is better than that, this is not good at all. So naturally, one person asked me later on, how do we know that this Shruti or scripture is talking about things of which we have no knowledge at all, and what we know, it classifies as ignorance. So how can we employ? The answer is, we get the knowledge through complete faith, Shraddha, in the teachings of the scriptures, as if they are true. So that's enough for our intellect to discriminate between with these two. One is unknown, but known through faith. The other is, we know about the world. At least, we think we know. But Shankaracharya demolishes this argument. We know nothing about this world. That's why the scripture is forced to tell us, even though we are experiencing from Janma after Janma, birth after birth, this world, yet what we do not know is, first of all, I am not the body mind. Secondly, this world is very temporary. Third, the world is very limited. Fourth, it is full of tritapa. Earlier, in some other context, I had outlined saying that there is a philosophy called Sankhya, and it starts with this preposition, tapatraya abhighatat jignasa, inquiry into some other knowledge other than this world, is started only when a person starts suffering from the unavoidable three types of sufferings, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, and adhidaivika. So philosophy is to search for that which is beyond our ken. But are we aware that this world has no relationship with us? We are not aware. Therefore, the Shruti or the scripture is forced to tell again and again that you will have to go on meditating Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, Dukkha, Dosha, Anudarshanam. This verse comes in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, aptly termed as Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Vibhaga, Yogo Nama, Trayudasho, Adhyayaha. With this background, we will go to this 19th. Dustarkahat, Suviramyatam, completely, you be away, destroyed, don't even look in the direction. From what? Dustarkahat. Tarka means reasoning. His reasoning has got at least threefold divisions. It's called Vada. Very soon we will see in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan himself tells, Vadaha Pravadatam Aham. Among the debates, reasonings, I am the Vada. So there is something called Vada, there is something called Jalpa, there is something called Vitanda. What is Jalpa? These are very beautiful definitions. Our ancient sages have gone through them so thoroughly. But first, what is Vitanda? This is an argument between two people, where one side, it has no other goal than put down the other man. The man is not in search of truth, he is only in search of having that egotism, I won the debate. So all his efforts are to put down the other man's arguments, but not to arrive at the truth. This is the lowest kind of reasoning or debate. So debate need not always be between another person present. Most of the time, either in the waking state or in the dream state, we are going on arguing within ourselves. We are talking with ourselves. Always this debate is going on. Shall I eat this or that? Shall I put this dress or that dress? Shall I meet this person or not? Shall I go here or there? So which object should I purchase? This endless, useless jalpa is going on. Slightly better than that, this vitanda is called jalpa. Jalpa means it is to completely establish my view as the correct view, while at the same time trying to defeat the opponent's view. At least here, there is some purpose is there. What is the purpose? I must reason properly. I must strengthen my opinion, put forward and strengthen it, win over it. This is much better than uselessly trying to put the other person down. Actually, when we look into it, we are not concerned. In the Vitanda, whether we want to put down his arguments. Rarely people become objective. They look at the other person. I am this person. This fellow I don't like. So whatever he says, even if he says right, I want to put him down. This is called vitanda. Completely dangerous type of debate or reasoning. But in Jalpa, there is some amount of egotism. But the man, he wants to defend whether it is right or wrong, his own views, while trying to demolish the other person's arguments. But the highest type of debate is called vada. What is vada? I won't care whether the other person is reasonable or not. But if he is telling the truth, I am well prepared to accept it, even if I bow down to him. It's absolutely true. We get this in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. In the very first chapter, Sri Ramakrishna warned him, never again argue. We will come to that point also very soon. But the idea is that don't stay with your own arguments. With reasoning, find out, am I right or am I wrong? True philosophy is concerned only with finding out the truth, not whether I am going along with old superstitions or not. So, these are the three types. This is what this Sadhana Panchakam, Shankaracharya, is warning us. Dustarkat, that tarka, which has only one purpose, and that is not to arrive at truth, but either to take pride that I could defeat this person through my words, or even lower than that, I want to destroy my opponent. I want to feel more egotistic. Completely, you abandon this kind of perverse arguments. So, I was talking about in our scripture or in any other scripture, revelation is the most important thing, because what the scriptures teach has nothing to do with what we ourselves experience. That is why there is a rule. This truth that is revealed, first of all, it must be a completely new truth. Secondly, it should not have been revealed in any other way from any other source. Because if I get that knowledge through other source, I don't need the scriptures. Thirdly, it can never be denied by any person. Once that knowledge comes, you cannot sublate that knowledge, because that is the highest knowledge. So, three conditions to find out. First of all, it should not be proposed by through any other pramana, we call it. I am trying to avoid this Vedantic jargon. Pramana means pratyaksha, direct seeing, inference, comparison, etc. This, whatever knowledge we can get through our five sense organs and other four means of dependent upon this direct experience. Through these, we get only knowledge of the world, indriya jnanam, not atindriya jnanam. So, we can never argue about it. No pramana can ever give us the only pramana, right means, which can give us that highest knowledge, is only through the scriptures. That's why it is called shabda pramana, or agama pramana, or veda pramana. And it is the most authoritative adhikara pramana. An adhikari is one who had realized God, like say Ramakrishna, Rama, Krishna, etc. So that alone should be accepted, even if it seems to be complete nonsense for us. But have Shraddha, accept it, practice what he says, and nobody will tell you the highest truth immediately. Everybody will take you slowly, step by step, until a person is able to understand that truth. A beautiful story is told. My audience would have recollected it. I hope so. There was a great sage, and an uneducated villager approached him, very sincere person, and he asked him, "Sir, please teach me about God." He doesn't even know such words as Brahman. "Teach me about God." And the guru understood. He was a very sincere person. So he said, "All right. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Sat chit ananda is Brahman. Go and meditate." Immediately, this person went, sat down. After 2 minutes, he ran back to the guru and said, "I cannot make head or tail of what you told me." The guru understood. Then he asked him, "What do you love the most? And this man answered, I have a buffalo at home. I love it and that is most dear to me. Immediately the Guru told, that buffalo, tat mahishaha brahma evaha, that is none other than Brahman. Go and meditate. So this man went and it was a hut with a very lowly door. You have to crawl in order to enter. Some caves, you know, we have to crawl. Several hours passed and Guru was anxious, like Totapuri was anxious about Sri Ramakrishna. He stood outside and he called out, hey, come out. And the disciple heard the Guru's words and he said, Guruji, I want to come out, but I am unable to come out. Why? Because I have such a huge horns, it is not possible to come out of this. Guruji understood, blessed him. I hope you follow the moral of this story. He had become so much identified because of his faith in the Guru's words that the buffalo is Brahman. Now, Brahman appeared in the form of the buffalo to him and he said, Aham Brahmasmi, I am the buffalo, but not as a buffalo. You have to understand this story. I am Brahman in the form of a buffalo. That is most important. So, he said, I have such huge horns, it is not possible through this small door to come out. That is called wisdom of the Guru and every Sadguru will have that wisdom. So, this is the essence of what I discussed so far. Revelation first. And you cannot prove revelation through any pramana excepting through direct experience. So, take it with Shraddha, accept it and surrender yourself to the Guru. He will take you step by step and ultimately when you realize this Shraddha translated into English called faith, it transforms itself into a fact, an experience. So, this is a important point. In the very first chapter of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, we come across this conversation between Sri Ramakrishna and M. Advised to M, the master was still in the ecstatic mood. Suddenly he said to him, look here, you have had enough of reasoning, no more of it. Promise me that you won't reason anymore. Guru is telling, promise me. And that means we have to go deep and we have to presume that Sri Ramakrishna understood M had surrendered to me. This is the second visit of M actually. First visit, he was there only for a short time. And then he was accompanied by his nephew Sidhu, first visit. Second visit, he came alone. After that, this Sidhu Navar appears there. So that the first chapter contains the most important points. As I mentioned earlier, the whole Vedas are squeezed into Upanishads. All the Upanishads are squeezed into Bhagavad Gita. All the Bhagavad Gita is squeezed into the second chapter. And all the second chapter is squeezed into the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. And the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna is squeezed into the first chapter of the Gospel. And the first chapter of the Gospel is squeezed into the five commandments of Sri Ramakrishna. So, this conversation, dialogue, Guru-Sishya Samvada. Sri Ramakrishna understood. M had accepted me intuitively, not with reason, as Guru. So, he argued at first, should not people be taught that images should not be worshipped, etc. We know that story. Sri Ramakrishna had given him good blows, even by asking, are you married? Arre, this fellow is goner. Do you have children? Yes, sir. Completely gone. Now, M himself says, is it such a bad thing? He came to argue forward. And this is what Sri Ramakrishna is telling. Promise me, I am your guru, that you won't reason anymore. And what was the response of M with folded hands? Yes, sir, I won't. And then Sri Ramakrishna was continuing. Master Sri Ramakrishna, you have had enough of it. When you came to me for the first time, I told you your spiritual ideal. I know everything about you, do I not? M, with folded hands. Yes, sir. Sri Ramakrishna, yes, I know everything. What your ideal is, who you are, your inside and outside, the events of your past lives and your future. Do I not? M, with folded hands. Yes, sir. Master, I scolded you on learning that you had a son. Now go home and live there. Let them know that you belong to them. But you must remember in your heart of hearts that you do not belong to them, nor they to you. We do not belong to anyone. We do not even belong to ourselves. We means body and mind. Then to whom do everything belong? Only to God. This is the essence of every puja. When we do aratrikam, as I explained earlier, all the five elements are represented by the light, water, cloth, flower, and the fanning. That means, O Lord, all these are yours. You are manifesting through them. My body and mind is made up of these five elements, and these five elements are the origin of my body, mind. They sustain me throughout my this journey, spiritual journey. Mind you, all life is nothing but pure spiritual journey, from the lowest inorganic to the highest organic and to the highest realization, Aham Brahmasmi. It is a beautiful spiritual journey from small knowledge to the highest knowledge. So, I scolded you, and then he says, on learning that, now go. To whom your parents and everybody including you belong? Because here is a psychological secret. When we think we are the body-mind, then only the relationships will come. This is my friend. When you are in deep sleep, you neither have the body nor the mind. Therefore, where are your parents? Where is even God? There is no world, no God, no parents, no Bharata Desha, no China, nothing is there. Only the moment that when we wake up, immediately, I am this particular body, I am this particular mind. And with that, everything else automatically attaches itself to it. So, everything belongs to God, but you must remember in your heart of hearts that nobody belongs anybody. Everybody comes separately. They also go separately. In this life, like two sticks, as the beautiful Sanskrit shloka goes, two sticks are floating on the river. Accidentally, they come near. Two sticks get stuck and travel together for some time. And some bush or a piece of rock comes in between, separates them, and again some other stick they meet. Life after life, everything, we are also stick, and the others are also is nothing but sticks, and we get stuck and we think this is eternal. Nothing is there. Everything lasts only for probably a few hours, few days, because death separates everything. So this is what Dustarkat Ramyatam Shrutimatah Tarkaha Anusandhiyatam. Step or commandment 20. Shruti Mataha Tarkaha Anusandhiyatam. Follow the discriminative rational of the Shruti. Shruti means scripture. Scripture contains three parts. First part is it tells you the highest goal. Second part is it tells you what should be the goal of your life. Third, it tells you what is the means to attain to that goal of life. So, Shruti Mataha, and then all our Upanishads. For example, Isavasya Upanishad is a dialogue between Guru and Sishya. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, nothing but Yajnavalkya Maitreyi, Yajnavalkya and Brahmanaha Samvada. And if you take Chandogya Upanishad, there it is between Sanat Kumara and Narada, or Shvetaketu and his father, is nothing but dialogues. The whole Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna is nothing but pure dialogues. So, we see here, Shruti Mataha means these three important teachings of the scriptures. And the Shruti, dialogue. Dialogue means through rationality, reasoning, called Yukti. It tries to explain the highest truths to us. For example, when Shruti tells us what is a Mahavakya, it immediately tries to tell us through reasoning. For example, Shadlingani. There are six characteristics how to ascertain a truth. That is, the beginning, the end, the repetition, the uniqueness, the experience, and the result. These are called Shadlinga, six ways of ascertaining the truth of the scriptures. That is to say, the scripture tells us, do not swallow what I am teaching you. You have to understand what is our purported real teaching by applying these Shadlingas. I won't go into the details because that comes when we seriously study Upanishads, especially Brahma Sutras, because it is called Nyaya Prasthana. It will come there. So, Shruti Mataha Tarkaha Anusandhiyata. Earlier, this is telling, do not do this, what is called either Vitanda or Jalpa, but accept only Vada. Here it is emphasizing that Vadaha Anusandhiyatam. You must take recourse to the way how you can ascertain. And why is it necessary? Because unfortunately our minds are full of doubts. We have absolutely no doubt that we are going to live forever. We have absolutely no doubt we are going to be happy all the time. We have absolutely no doubt everything belongs to us. We belong to somebody. In this, what is called completely illogical experiences, in spite of experiences, we think these are the eternal truths. And when the scripture tries to teach us the real truth, we get lots and lots of doubts. How to get rid of the doubts? Only through direct experience. That's why Mundaka Upanishad deals with this from this Vada point of view. When does a person completely get rid of all doubts? So he says, Vidyate Hridaya Grandhi Chidyante Sarvasamshayaha Kshiyante Cha Asya Karmani Tasmin Drishte Paravare. So follow the discriminative rational of the Shruti. Vedanta is a rational process of intellection. We must learn how to think deeply and argue not with others but with ourselves. Along the line of discussion that is always indicated by the Upanishads. This is called Vada. That's why God says, if somebody follows Vada, he is following me. Vadaha pravadatam aham. Among all the types of debates, I am definitely manifesting in the form of Vada. What does Vada do? Bring us to truth. And what is God? Truth. That's why he says, I am Vada. The arguments by which the sages, rishis, deny the panchakoshas are the three bodies, sthula, sukshma, karana, shariras, are panchakoshas, annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, anandamaya koshas. Examine the three states of consciousness, jagrat, svapna, sushupti, and then tell us, everything is nothing but Brahman, but so long as you think they are not Brahman, it is me, then this bondage of samsara will never come to an end. Sri Ramakrishna always encouraged his devotees to reason correctly and arrive at truth. One example is the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. We get this incident. One day Sri Ramakrishna himself incited two devotees to argue. There was one devotee, I think he might have been Kedar, I do not remember exactly. He might have heard Sri Ramakrishna discouraging debating. So he thought Sri Ramakrishna always discouraged debating. Like just now we read, to M, promise me. Now this person said, what is the use of useless arguments? Defying Sri Ramakrishna, who himself had started this debate. Then Sri Ramakrishna got annoyed and said, no, it is necessary. So, is Sri Ramakrishna teaching two types of things? To some people, do not argue. To some other people, always follow argument. What we have to understand is, dustarkat suviramyatam. From what is called vitanda and jalpa, refrain completely. They do not serve any purpose, excepting kalakshaya, time pass. But vada, one always has to do it. Now, I remember a beautiful incident. How Sri Ramakrishna enjoys playing with devotees as a cat plays with mouse or rat. Narendranath just started coming. He always used to counter Sri Ramakrishna. Aisa, Mother Kali, that is hallucination of your brain. And Aisa, so many visions. And they are also your imaginations. Everything he will tell, hallucination. That is one catchword for Narendranath. Sri Ramakrishna understood. I'll wait, rascal. I will show you the correct thing. One day, this greatest devotee of God, woman devotee, Gopala, Gopala's mother, she came to Sri Ramakrishna. She had tremendous visions of Gopala continuously for 2 months. By the way, you please read her life, which comes in the Great Master. And it is a great eye-opener, at least for us who are going through this COVID situation, how to spend life time happily while we are isolated at home. And what Holy Mother used to say, Japat Siddhi, was literally proved by this Gopalarma. Japa, 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 and she attained. Sri Ramakrishna certified. This Gopala's mother came. Whenever she comes, she wants only to talk about her Gopala to everybody. Sri Ramakrishna was there. Unfortunately, or fortunately, Narendra happened to be there. Immediately, Sri Ramakrishna played this trick. So, you see, this young boy, a very nice person, he wants to hear about all your experiences. Go on to tell. This poor lady did not know what was the motive of Sri Ramakrishna. So, she went there, caught hold of Narendra's hands, said, Baba, I was doing japa. Suddenly, this big Gopala, with huge lotus-like eyes, came and started demanding, I want a pillow. I want butter. She was narrating, blow by blow narration, how she first had this vision, etc. And she was, when she was recollecting, the tears were flowing from her eyes, full of. And in between, she had that intelligence, probably inspired by Sri Ramakrishna. Baba, do you think all these are my hallucination? Now, that touch of Gopala's mother, Narendra was overwhelmed. By the way, that was the way of Sri Ramakrishna. When somebody doesn't accept, a good devotee doesn't accept his views, Sri Ramakrishna cleverly touches that person and then removes that obstruction and makes him accept on the spot what he was telling. But this he employs only towards his sincere devotees, not you and me. So he was fortunate, we are also fortunate. You know why I say that? Because many people express to me that how fortunate it would have been if I was in the presence of Sri Ramakrishna. And it is my favorite expression that he was fortunate, you are not there. You are fortunate, he was not there. Otherwise, his hands would have been paining. Your cheeks also would have been paining. Rani Rasmani's incident. So, we are very fortunate. And we would never have been able to understand. Excepting from this distance of time, now we know the more time passes, the more the world recognizes. So, Gopala's mother went on shedding tears and telling, Baba, now do you think these are my hallucinations? And Narendra knew that she was an unlettered person, complete faith, that joy which was streaming through her. How could he say? Because this is real anubhava, pratyaksha anubhava. He went on saying, no mother, this is all true, this is all true, this is all true. That narration was over. Gopala's mother, we don't know what happened. Gopala's mother took leave and went back with some prasada, and then Sri Ramakrishna rasked. When I tell you, say they are all my hallucinations, and when this lady tells, you say everything is true. Ever afterwards, after this incident, Narendra had never denied Sri Ramakrishna's experience. So, this is a fun, that is how Sri Ramakrishna is playing with all of us. Only problem is, the play between cat and mouse, it is a play only from the cat's point of view, not from the rat's point of view. Okay, this is what, reason correctly, always reason, even Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Vivekananda teachings. Reason not to confront their teachings, but to make those understandable and be convinced by yourself. But Buddha used to warn, Swami Vivekananda used to tell, quoting Buddha, do not believe some old scriptures tell you. Do not believe your foggy grandparents have told you. Do not believe because I am telling you. God has given you some buddhi, use it and think deeply. And this deep thinking, aided by reasoning, has a beautiful Sanskrit equivalent. It is called tapas, deep thinking. How do we know? Because in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Varuna gives the teaching directions and then one says, tapasa brahma vijignasasva. Tapasya means you forget about many of these external distractions and you will have enough time to think deeply. That is what he wants to do. Now we come to the కమాండ్మెంట్ 21. సో ఓకే, ఐ స్టాప్డ్ ఆర్గ్యూయింగ్ పర్వర్స్లీ, ఐ స్టార్టెడ్ ఆర్గ్యూయింగ్ రైట్లీ, ఐఎమ్ నౌ కంప్లీట్లీ కన్విన్స్డ్ దట్ వాట్ ది స్క్రిప్చర్, వాట్ ది గురు టోల్డ్ మీ, వాట్ ఐ రెడ్ ఇస్ అబ్సల్యూట్ ట్రూత్. దెన్ వాట్ టు డూ? శ్రవణ ఈజ్ ఓవర్, మనన ఈజ్ ఓవర్. వాట్ ఈస్ ది నెక్స్ట్ స్టెప్? నిధిధ్యాసన. మేక్ ఇట్ యువర్ ఓన్. దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ హీ సేస్. దేర్ ఇస్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఇన్సిడెంట్. వన్స్ స్వామి బ్రహ్మానందజీ అండ్ స్వామి సుబోధానందజీ వర్ స్టేయింగ్ ఇన్ బృందావన్ అండ్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్ ట్రెమండస్ తపస్య. తపస్య మీన్స్ ది డీప్ థింకింగ్ అబౌట్ గాడ్. సో వన్ డే విజయకృష్ణ గోస్వామి, హూ వాజ్ ఆల్సో ఎట్ బృందావన్, విజిటెడ్ బ్రహ్మానందజీ అండ్ సెడ్ మహారాజ్, శ్రీ రామకృష్ణ హాడ్ గివెన్ యూ ఎవరిథింగ్, వై డూ యు నీడ్ టు డూ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ తపస్య? అండ్ రాజా మహారాజ్ గేవ్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ రిప్లై. ఇట్ ఈస్ ట్రూ, శ్రీ రామకృష్ణ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ బౌండ్లెస్ మర్సీ హ్యాడ్ గివెన్ అస్ దిస్ హైయెస్ట్ టీచింగ్ అండ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్, బట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు మేక్ ఇట్ అవర్ ఓన్. దిస్ మేకింగ్ ఇట్ అవర్ ఓన్ త్రూ రిపీటెడ్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ నిధిధ్యాసన. సో దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ది కమాండ్మెంట్ 21. బ్రహ్మ అస్మీతి విభావ్యత. బి అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ ది భావ ఆర్ అటిట్యూడ్ ఆర్ ఫీలింగ్. వాట్ ఈస్ దట్ ఫీలింగ్? ఐఎమ్ బ్రహ్మన్, ఐఎమ్ ఎ డివోటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఎట్సెట్రా. బ్రహ్మ అస్మి, ఐఎమ్ బ్రహ్మ. వాట్ డస్ ది గురు సే? గురు సేస్ తత్వమసి, యు ఆర్ బ్రహ్మన్. అండ్ వాట్ షుడ్ ది డివోటీ షుడ్ డూ? డిసైపుల్ షుడ్ డూ? డోంట్ సే టు ది గురు తత్వమసి. వెరీ ఫన్నీ థింగ్స్ హ్యాపెన్, యు నో. దెన్ ఐఎమ్ టెల్లింగ్ టు సమ్ డివోటీస్, అడ్రెసింగ్ దెమ్, సపోజింగ్ యు హ్యావ్ ఈటెన్ రాంగ్ ఫుడ్ అండ్ యువర్ స్టమక్ ఈజ్ బర్నింగ్, ఏకింగ్, అండ్ హూ సఫర్స్? అండ్ ద డివోటీ పాయింటెడ్, యూ సఫర్. అరే, ఐఎమ్ టెల్లింగ్ యూ హ్యావ్ ఈటెన్, సో హీ హ్యాస్ టు సే వాట్? ఐఎమ్ సఫరింగ్. బట్ ఇన్స్టెడ్ యు నో, దిస్ ఇస్ అవర్ ఇండియన్ లాంగ్వేజ్, యూ విల్ సఫర్. సో డోంట్ సే టు ది గురు, గురు సే టు యూ తత్వమసి, ఆస్క్ వాట్ డిడ్ ఐ సే? ఓ, యూ టోల్డ్ మీ తత్వమసి, యు ఆర్ దట్. డోంట్ సే దట్. వాట్ డిడ్ యూ సే? యు టోల్డ్ మీ గురుజీ, అహం బ్రహ్మాస్మి. యస్ టు గో ఆన్ థింకింగ్ లైక్ దట్. సో బీ అబ్జార్బ్డ్. హౌ లాంగ్? అంటిల్ యు నో త్రూ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ దట్ యు ఆర్ బ్రహ్మన్. బ్రహ్మాస్మీతి విభావ్యత, ఐఎమ్ బ్రహ్మన్. అండ్ ఆన్ దిస్ ఐ మెన్షన్ టు యూ, దేర్ ఆర్ మెనీ పాత్వేస్ టు రీచ్ దట్ గోల్. మెయిన్లీ దేర్ ఆర్ ఫోర్: కర్మయోగ, భక్తి యోగ, రాజయోగ అండ్ జ్ఞానయోగ. దీస్ ఫోర్ హ్యావ్ బీన్ యూజువల్లీ సబ్ డివైడెడ్ ఇన్ టు టూ పాత్స్, భక్తి మార్గ యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ జ్ఞాన మార్గ. ఫ్రమ్ ఎ జ్ఞాన మార్గ పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ వ్యూ, ఐఎమ్ బ్రహ్మన్. బట్ ఫ్రమ్ మై పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ వ్యూ, భక్తాస్ పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ వ్యూ, యు డోంట్ సే. దట్స్ వై శ్రీ రామకృష్ణ యూస్ టు టెల్ టు హిజ్ భక్తాస్, ది వేవ్ బిలాంగ్స్ టు ది ఓషన్, ది ఓషన్ డజంట్ బిలాంగ్ టు ది వేవ్. బట్ ఆఫ్టర్ రియలైజేషన్ ఎస్, బట్ బిఫోర్ రియలైజేషన్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు కీప్. దట్స్ వై శ్రీ రామకృష్ణస్ వర్డ్స్ ఆర్ సో ప్రెగ్నెంట్ విత్ డీప్ మీనింగ్. వీ ఆల్వేస్ హ్యావ్ టు రిమెంబర్ హనుమాన్స్ టీచింగ్, దేహ బుద్ధ్యా తు దాసోహం, జీవ బుద్ధ్యా త్వదంశక, ఆత్మ బుద్ధ్యా త్వమేవాహం ఇతి మే నిశ్చిత మతి. సో ది సేమ్ బ్రహ్మాస్మీతి విభావ్యత. ఆల్వేస్ థింక్ ఐఎమ్ గాడ్. ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ a devotee should do something else. He means the same thing, but words become different. What are the words? Here is what Sri Ramakrishna tells us. If you find that you cannot drive off this feeling of I, then let it remain at the servant I. There is not much fear from the ego, which is centered in the thought, I am the servant of God, I am his devotee, etc. So this should be our attitude. I am a devotee, I am a servant, I am a friend, I am a beloved, I am the father or mother. This is in Vaishnava literature, Panchabhavas, Shanta, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya and Mathura Bhavas. And here Sri Ramakrishna's teachings, as I said, are very deep. So he is telling, if you cannot drive off this feeling of I, what does he mean? I will remain. You can never drive off I. If something exists, it must have an identity. But it can have right or wrong feeling, attitude. So if you cannot think that I am Brahman, then think I am the servant, because there is a big difference between you and me. And I told you also, even those who teach Aham Brahmasmi from morning till evening, they're busy in doing hours and hours of pujas and distributing prasada and tirtha and blessing them. All these things people do. Only in lectures they go on talking, Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, Prajnanam Brahma, I am Atma Brahma, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Sri Ramakrishna is explaining, sweets cause dyspepsia, but not sugar candy. It is an exception. The servant eye, the eye of the devotee, the eye of a child, each of these is like a line drawn with a stick on the surface of water. Appearance is there, but it very soon disappears. This eye doesn't last long, just as sugar candy has no unwholesome effect like other sweets. So also the ripe ego. And our devotees must remember that Sri Ramakrishna used two words which are very important. Vidya Maya, Avidya Maya. Also, Pakva Ahankara, Kacha Ahankara. The ripe ego, unripe ego. So, the ripe ego, which considers itself to be the servant or worshipper of God, causes none of those evil consequences characteristic of the unripe ego. On the other hand, this mature attitude, Ahankara, leads to God and signifies that one has progressed in Bhakti Yoga on the path of devotion. If a person always feels, I am a child of God, there is a great progress in spiritual life. But this we are not talking about superficial feeling. If it is true feeling, immediately he says, my family members belong to you, the whole world belongs to you. Shokali, tomari ichha, ichha mai, taratumi, tomar karma tumi koroma, loke bole kori ami. So what is the nature of the feelings, of the impulses of one who has the attitude of the servant eye? If this conviction is true, what conviction? I am the servant, I am a child, I am a devotee of God. If it is true and sincere, then there remains only the form, the appearance of his former feelings and impulses. Even if the ego of the servant or the ego of the devotee remains, one who has realized God can hurt no one. The whole sting of individuality vanishes from him. Sri Ramakrishna, the past master in similes and better than even Kalidasa. What does he say? The sword becomes gold by the touch of the philosopher's stone. It retains its former shape but can no longer hurt anyone. Then he says, how to progress to that state? Turn all your these feelings, pride, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, etc. towards God. If you feel proud, let it be in the thought that you are the servant of God, the child of God, devotee of God. Great men, Sri Ramakrishna says, have the nature of children. They are always children before him. So they are free from all pride. It is wonderful truths. If you just read them, you will not get the meaning. Observe a child. Does the child cherish any thoughts that I am a child of my father and mother? Does a child ever cherish, this is my father, my mother, I have nothing to worry? That means previously was worrying. Now he came to realize, I have nothing to worry. Simply he plays, he eats whatever the parents do, he knows. He doesn't think about it, he becomes a child. That is an important point. So, all the strength of the children is of God and not their own. It belongs to him and comes from him. A person who is convinced that everything is done by the will of God feels himself to be a mere tool in his hands. He is then free from all bondage, even in this very life. That is what earlier I quoted, Shokali tomari ichha, thou dost thy work, O mother. But man says, I do it. As the timeless itself, I am not the body, mind, intellect, equipment, so I have none of their imperfections or sorrows. What? Brahmasmiti ibhavyatam. It means, when a person says, I am the body, not I am the servant of God, but I am the body and mind complex. Remember, anybody says, I am the body, the mind also comes along. You don't need to separately mention it. Birth, death, health, ill health, the ashramas, four ashramas, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasa ashramas. The varnas, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. The species, I am human being, here is an animal, this is a plant, this is an insect, the castes, color distinctions, all are based upon only with reference to the body. Joy and sorrow, experiences are also determined by the mind, and as I am not the mind, they too are not mine at any time. So simultaneously, I belong to God and nothing belongs to me. They go together. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, as a man progresses towards the east, he need not say, I have to separate myself from the west. The further he advances towards the east, the west recedes further. In this respect, I just remember a beautiful incident from the life of Mahapurush Maharaj, Swami Shivananda. Many times, even after years of initiation or sadhana, we feel we are not progressing in life. One such, I think, a Swami or a Brahmachari or a devotee, I don't know, approached Mahapurush Maharaj and said, Maharaj, I have taken sannyasa and I have been practicing for the last 20 years. I do not see any progress. Then Mahapurush Maharaj made fun. Oh, you are not progressing. What is the use of your being here? Go and get married. Of course, the sannyasi said, no, that's not what I meant. Meant that I do not see any progress. Then Mahapurush Maharaj became very grave and said these things. My son, suppose you embark on a ship and the ship had lifted the anchor, is progressing forward. You go to the front of the ship and go on looking. Where is the destination? Where is the destination? You will not see it. Months together, you may not see it. But you go to the back and look what you left behind, the shore. Every passing minute, the distance between what you left and what where you are now is becoming greater and greater. So what is he trying to tell? Previously, you were a slave to kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. Now they are becoming slowly less and less and less obsessive and oppressive. That is a great spiritual progress. This is very encouraging teaching to most of us. We may not see the light, but we can see that the darkness is slowly receding from us. Then, commandment number 22. Aharaha garvaha parityajyatam. Destroy pride. Do not allow to raise its head ever. Because here, wonderful, aharaha means day and night. There is a beautiful Sanskrit advice to us. Asuptehe amritehe. Brahma chintaya nayam kal, nayet kalam. Time must be spent until one falls asleep, until one's body is given up only in the thought of God. So here, ahaha ahaha means day and night. How long? Not one day. As soon as you wake up, get a little understanding and actively, consciously take up to the life of spirituality, do not give up hope. Even if so many years have passed, do not give up hope. Go on trying to think of God and to give up is garva. Garva means pride. Pride comes, pride is the symptom. Pride is not the main enemy. Just like pain is a symptom, fever is a symptom of ill health, so garva, etc., this is the symptom of ajnana or ahankara. If there is no ahankara, there would be no pride at all. This distinction between ahankara and garva. First get rid of pride, mada, matsarya, etc., and then you will identify yourself more effectively. I am a devotee, I am a servant, etc. These are beautiful ideas which we will discuss in our future class. But I will end this with this quotation from Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna says, who then is a devotee? He whose mind dwells on God. But this is not possible as long as one has egotism and vanity. The water of God's grace cannot collect on the high mound of egotism. The traits of a worldly man endowed with tamas are sleep, lust, anger, egotism and the like. Ego alone is the cause of bondage. His beautiful teachings we will discuss in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Moho. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti.